beautiful day of life and opportunity that we could assemble together in a fashion like this to be able to be busy about what God expects us to be doing on the Lord's Day. Appreciate you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We are glad that you're with us, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity. We love to have visitors with us, and so we really appreciate you being here. I encourage all of us, visiting or not, to take your Bible out and follow along with me and make sure that what I say is in harmony with the Bible. If you think I missed the mark and you catch me at the back and you say, "Preacher, I think you're wrong about that," you're not going to hurt my feelings. And so if I'm wrong about it, I'll appreciate you pointing that out so that I can be right according to the Bible, that got to be pleased with what I say, and that I can go to heaven when life is over. And if you find on studying these things that maybe you were wrong about a particular thought or topic, and then you come to terms with what the Bible says, the only thing we ask is that you believe it, obey it, be faithful according to His Word all the days of your life, that you can go to heaven when life is over. So I appreciate you being here. I put the topic before you on the board. Christ stands between man and we're going to fill in the blank. If you did not get a chart in the back, they're in the back, the top left. You're not going to be disruptive if you get up and go get one. In fact, I'd encourage you to do that, because you'll have blanks on the right side of the page that you can jot these points down. 17 things that we're going to talk about this morning, time permitted. And so you can take this and study it, and you could go a lot of different directions as you think about a Bible study or a sermon. Christ stands between man and. Our young guys worked a few years ago on baptism stands between man and just filled in the blank. And so you could just go and go with a sermon like this. And so I hope that you'll get that chart. And if you say, "Preacher, I can't use that. I just don't see any value or use in that," you don't have to take it. And so, but if you can, you can use it and make a study as we study together what Christ stands between man and these various things. And without Christ, these things would be impossible. I appreciate Ray doing a very good job in reading our text this morning from Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." And so Christ, if it wasn't for Christ, we would be at a loss. No way to be saved. We would not be able to have the things that we have, which we're going to talk about this morning, if it wasn't for Christ. The first one that I want you to think about as you fill in that sheet, number one, is because of Christ, we are reconciled to God. And so Christ stands between man and reconciliation. Being reconciled has the idea of something that has been separated, being brought back together. And so as a result of what Jesus did, we are reconciled unto God. And Paul, in his writings, of course, he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, made mention of that a number of times. For example, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and in verse 10, all these very simple points that we need to be familiar with. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." Well, in order to be reconciled to something, it is the fact that we have been separated. And so Paul's making the point, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Now watch this, how were we reconciled to God? He's writing to Christians, by the way, to the saints at Rome, Romans chapter 1 verse 7. Notice, "We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And so as a result of what Jesus did, we are reconciled unto God. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 5, there's a number of things that Christ stands between. You could stay in Romans chapter 5 and make a number of points. In fact, Romans chapter 5 is where I got the idea for the sermon. But Christ stands between a number of things, as pointed out in that chapter. At least five things I made the notes in my Bible. We're going to talk about 17 things this morning. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 16. Ephesians 2 verse 16. Notice what he says. "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity. The word enmity is a King James Version. We're not all translations use that word, but it has the idea of being at odds with something, an enemy or against, antagonistic toward. And so the enmity thereby, in the context of Ephesians chapter 2, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the fact that as a result of what Jesus did, he reconciled both Jew and Gentile in one body, which is the church. Ephesians chapter 2. You know that the body is the church because of what he mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1. And so, Christ stands between man and reconciliation. The second one I want you to think about is that Christ stands between man, and I want to abbreviate that, spiritual blessings. A lot could be said about the blessings that we have as children of God in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. According as he has granted unto us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that is in Christ Jesus, is where those spiritual blessings are. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So relative to spiritual blessings, there's not a one of them that's out of Christ. You see that point? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where at? In Christ. We make the point, and I tell you, it's a point that needs to be repeated over and over when it applies, and it has to do with what we're talking about. It's the fact that the only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, and in verse 26, and in verse 27. So without Christ, there'd be no spiritual blessings. You think about prayer, you think about forgiveness, the things we're going to talk about this morning, fellowship, of which we enjoy with our Heavenly Father as we walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, and in verse 7. Without Christ, these things would be impossible. Christ stands between us and the things that we're talking about this morning. Number 3, Christ stands between man and, I'm thankful for this because I need it, forgiveness. All of us need to be forgiven. Now, before anyone takes the thought and runs too far, I'm not talking about the babies, toddlers, young children, and those that are not capable of transgressing the commandments of God, seeing how that sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3. But I'm talking to those of us that are old enough to know better. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And we all sin, the text says, and so we need the forgiveness of God. But that is made possible as a result of what Jesus did. Now, how do I know that? Well, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, he's talking about Christ. It goes back. The thought goes back to verse 5. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in whom, that is in Christ. I tell you, it makes a good sermon. I think I've preached it here along the way, in Christ, the significance of being in Christ. If you take a concordance and you look that phrase up, in Christ, you'll have a lot of points. And it'll preach itself. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And so as a result of what Jesus did, we have the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said that He shed His blood for the remission of sins. Matthew 26, 26 through 28. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, linking that together, Peter proclaimed on Pentecost Day, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. What makes our remission of sins possible? The shed blood of Christ. Matthew 26, 26 and following. Our robes are washed, made clean, made white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And so we have the forgiveness of sins as a result of what Jesus has did. And then while we're there, it talks about redemption. That we have redemption in His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so the idea of redemption is something that has been purchased by. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7. Peter said, we have not been redeemed by corruptible things as gold and silver and so forth, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. You mean, preacher, that we are bought, that That means somebody owns us. You better believe it. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you are a member of the only institution on the top side of God's green earth that was purchased with the blood of Christ. I know so because the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which has purchased with His own blood." And so as a result of what Jesus did, we can be redeemed by His blood. But also when you think about what is made possible by Christ, I think about what the Bible says concerning peace. We're not always going to be at peace with people in the world, because sometimes folks don't want peace. But we can be at peace with He who created us. And when the Bible talks about peace, many times in the New Testament, He's talking about being at peace with God. Now, we need to strive, if at all possible, to live at peace with those about us. But sometimes that's not possible because they don't want peace. But we can always be at peace with God when we do what God says to do, to have peace with Him. As we talk about being redeemed and reconciled and these other things we're talking about in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "For He is our peace." Who is our peace? Well, the context goes back to verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ." There's a lot of things the blood of Christ does. That makes another good sermon. "For He is our peace, who hath broken, made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." I wonder what that middle wall of partition is all about while we're there. The next verse tells us, "having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain," that is of two, "one new man." Now watch this. "So making peace." As a result of Jesus Christ, we have peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, "I give unto you peace." And in Acts chapter 10 and in verse 36, Acts 10 verse 36, "the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all." So as a result of what Jesus did, we can have peace. I like that passage too, though it doesn't directly bear on what I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And so, Christ stands between man and peace. Number 6, Christ stands between man and hope. I'm thankful for hope. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about. In Christ there is hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. If we die outside of Christ, there is no hope. Now, you may very well be here this morning, not in Christ. That is, you're not a Christian. If you die in that condition, there is no hope. Paul was admonishing those of Thessalonica to not sorrow as others which have no hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 1. Yes, the New Testament talks a lot about hope. We're talking about Christ standing in between man and these various things. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ," watch him, "who is our hope." You want hope so you can stay grounded? Hope of better things to come. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Yes, we have hope in Christ, but it's not contained to the things in this life that come upon us. If it were, we'd be miserable creatures. But there's better things to come for God's people. But then number 7, I'm thankful for the fact that as a result of what Jesus did, we can have eternal life. Life doesn't end with the grave, by the way. And whether you're saved or lost, your existence is not confined to this life. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27. When we die, the body will go back to the dust from whence it was taken, but the spirit will return unto God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. But I'm talking about the hope of eternal life. That doesn't mean we have it right now, but it's in hope and promise. He has promised us eternal life. And one day we'll have eternal life. Watch 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. How are you doing on that chart? You filling it in? 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now watch him. And this life is in his Son. If you're not in his Son, you don't have hope of eternal life. In Matthew 25, 46, those on the right will go into life everlasting. A life that will never end. I love the beautiful statement that Jesus made in the book of John, chapter 4, as he is having a conversation with a woman of Samaria. Notice what he said to this woman. Verse 10 of John chapter 4. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. We have eternal life as a result of what Jesus did, and he is the only source of that eternal life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said, John chapter 14 and in verse 6. But as you think about what Jesus did for us, and the fact that he stands between man and a number of things, number 8, Jesus stands between man and being a new creature. You know that you can be made new this morning? Be a new creature? Paul penned to those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There it is again, in Christ. If any man therefore be in Christ, you can be a new creature. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4, when we are baptized in the death of Christ, we arise to walk in what? Newness of life. You know, you can leave here being the person, leaving the person that you were not when you got here. You can leave a different person if you'll be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. So you can be a new creature in Christ. Number 9, Christ stands between man and grace. You got to qualify this. And I say that because in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, Paul, writing to Titus, said, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. So God's grace, that means undeserved, unmerited favor, love, has been made available to everybody, but not everybody saved. And so I wonder how that works. Is there something that might stand in between me and the benefits of God's grace? First of all, how was it made known unto man? Well, as a result of Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, grace was demonstrated under the Old Testament. God's grace has always been demonstrated throughout the pages of the Bible. There's no denying that. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Genesis chapter 6. But I'm talking about the grace by which we can be reconciled unto our God. Came by Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. And it was impossible to be saved under the Old Testament law of Moses. That is, to have the remission of your sins by the blood of bulls and goats. That came by Jesus Christ. Are we saved by grace? You better believe it. Ephesians 2 and in verse 8. For we are saved by grace through faith. But that was made possible by what Jesus did in shedding his blood on the cross. And so we can have the benefits of God's grace made possible by Christ when we get up and do what God said to do, whereby we can be saved. But also atonement. Number 10. We can have the atonement the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 5. And in verse 11, you can do a search and a concordance on the word atonement or atoned. And you can find all kinds of passages concerning the concept of being atoned. And not only so, but we also joy in Christ through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And so without Christ there is no atonement. We need to appreciate that. Number 11. I can think of others you'd put on the list. What about being a new creature? In Ephesians chapter, or Colossians chapter, not a new creature, we talked about that, a new covenant. Colossians chapter 2 and then verse 14 talks about the fact that he nailed the Old Testament law of Moses to his cross. Blotting out, Paul writes, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And so as a result of what Jesus did, we can be or have the new covenant. I'm thankful for that new covenant of which God prophesied through the mouth of his prophets in the Old Testament that he would establish, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. And so we are not under the Old Testament law of Moses, but under the New Testament law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6 and then verse 2. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, he came to do the will of God. Wherefore he saith, I came to do thy will, O God, in a book it is written of me. He taketh away the first. You know the rest of that? That he may establish the second. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, talks about the new covenant. But also as you think about what Christ stands between man and, number 13 rather. I may have misnumbered or what have you, but salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 10. And first of all, before you go there, I think about 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 4, the fact that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. There's not a person around that God does not want to be saved. In fact, the Bible says, and makes that statement in a number of places, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 10, Paul talked about the fact that salvation is in, there's that phrase again, in Christ Jesus. And so without Christ, we could not have salvation. Number 13, I think about what the Bible says concerning a purged conscience. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Notice that now. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You're going to have a purged conscience this morning if you'll obey the gospel of Christ, made possible by Christ, by the blood of Christ. And you can't help but to think about what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have a purged conscience by the blood of Christ, a good conscience by the resurrection of Christ. Either one of them made possible by Christ. You agree? Next. You can be a child of God. I've already made mention of this along the way. I'm thankful that we can be in the family of God. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, I guess he's talking about all those in the denominations and world religions that were instituted and erected by men. You better keep reading. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew. Now there's what he's talking about. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. So it don't matter if you're male or female, Greek or Jew. You can be one in Christ Jesus. When you are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Number 15. As a result of what Jesus did, we can have justification. We'll be justified. You know what justified means? To be declared innocent or right. We've all sinned. We talked about forgiveness. We'll be justified. I think about those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 when Paul talks about things that various they did and before they obeyed the gospel. But now you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. 2 Corinthians 6, begin with verse 9, I believe. In Galatians chapter 2 and then verse 17. Paul's writing, and again, keep in mind that he's writing to people who had obeyed the gospel. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ minister of sin, God forbid. The context of that he's talking about, you cannot be justified under the Old Testament law of Moses. You cannot, if you're going to be justified by Christ, you better stay this side of the cross instead of going back on the other side of the cross to the law of Moses. And in John 14, 27, or Romans chapter 5, verse 9 rather, being justified as a result of what Jesus did. Number 16. Two more points. Put it right here. Christ stands between man and God. Did you know that? We talked about in the scripture reading, neither is there any creature or salvation rather in any man. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation in any other. Didn't say man, in any other. And so as a result of what Jesus did, we can be with the Father. In right relationship with Him. Have fellowship with Him. Be declared just, right of Him. Forgiven of Him. John 6, 44 and 45. And again, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the rest of that? No man. Now would you be included in that no man? That's it. That's everybody. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 18. Ephesians 2 verse 18. For through Him, as through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That is available by Christ as a result of what He did. Last point. What would you put if you were putting a sermon together? Got that sheet filled out? One more point. Christ stands between man and rest. You get tired? All of us do. You labor and you work and you toil. Sometimes you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? You're just tired, worn out. I imagine the apostles were tired. I imagine Christ was tired. I imagine the prophets of old were tired. Now's not the time to quit. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians 6 and then verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 9. One of the best or great Bible invitations is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When the Lord said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Then I love the statement of Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in, there's that phrase again, in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works to follow them. I'm thankful for the rest that we can anticipate having when time is no more. You thankful for that? 17 things this morning that Christ stands between man and. Should you be in the assembly this morning, not a Christian, I hope the lesson has provoked you to want to become a Christian. Folks, don't let the death of Christ be in vain so far as your life is concerned. It can be in vain. Did you know that? Paul made mention of that in Galatians chapter 2. And his grace that was bestowed upon me is not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the Lord. Preacher, I want to become a Christian. I'm thankful for what Jesus did. I want to become a child of God so that I can have peace. I'm tired of turmoil, no end to it. I want to be at peace with God so that I can have that hope, so that I can have eternal life when life is over and I can rest from my labors. What do I have to do? Do what they did in Bible days. Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe it. Except you believe that I am he, shall die in your sins, the Lord said, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, without which will perish, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. When he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus commanded that in Matthew 10:32. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. To arise, to walk in newness of life, like we talked about in Romans 6:4. Being added to the church of Christ by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord and you've not been faithful as you should, but you want to come home and be restored. Get back on the right path again. God's made provision for that. If we'll repent of our unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer, 1 John 1:9. Don't delay. We'll pray with you and for you. Come right now.